Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
On this first full week of January, first full week of 2020, it kind of feels like this is the real hump show again. I was just talking about it with a friend, how we wish the holidays were just a little bit longer, almost like what you might have before college finals, a couple of reading days where it's not the hustle and bustle of the holidays. That's behind. Finished up all that. Family's gone home, although I wouldn't have minded my family staying a little longer. But the house is cleared out, and it's just quiet for a couple days without having to get back into the work routine. So this first full week, I know a lot of you can identify. It definitely is the first hump show, true hump show of 2020. And the first full week for a lot of us working our regular schedules. So I can feel it. It's my first Tuesday in 3 weeks writing my football column. And so Tuesday was back to double duty. Over the holidays, I had a little more freedom when I wrote it. And because the Tuesdays were Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve, I wasn't writing then. And so as I was writing my column this afternoon, I was thinking, oh my goodness. Yep. It's back to work, back to the regular routine. And only a month left of columns, actually. That thought dawned on me as well. So I'll share that with you a little bit later on, though it is on my Twitter and Facebook if you want to get a jump on it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house a home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Exactly 3 weeks from now, we will be hosting our first show from Miami. You know what I'm going to need as we talk about Miami over the next few weeks? And while we're there in Miami, the Will Smith song. I'm going to need the Will Smith song. It's an anthem for Miami. It's fantastic. Anyway, 3 weeks from tonight, the first of our three shows in Miami. Now, I can't say South Beach because our shows won't be originating from South Beach. Radio Row is near South Beach. But I'll be doing my shows from 790 The Ticket, which is how we normally do it. We take our show on the road and we use the local stations, the local facilities and studios. And our hosts are very gracious. So last year in Atlanta, the year before in Minneapolis, before that it was Houston and San Francisco. And it's been really cool to meet a lot of different people who work at our local affiliates around the country as we take the show on the road. So Miami, we're coming for you. Will Smith is too. And that'll start 3 weeks from tonight, which of course means we're nearing the end of the NFL's run. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio and on Facebook. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. So 24 hours ago, we were talking about the Dallas Cowboys and how they had hired Mike McCarthy. We've got the latest on the Dallas coaching search. Not meaning McCarthy, I'm sorry. Referring to the staff that he's putting together. But he's got coaches to hire, coaches to interview, a lot of people to bring on board, and he's wasting no time. Similar to the way that Jerry Jones wasted no time in hiring McCarthy himself. So we'll get the latest from Dallas, as well as the Giants and Panthers pulling the trigger. So they can also see the writing on the wall, recognize that there is a very high-stakes game of musical chairs going on here, and if you have a candidate that you like, you better not sleep on it. Don't take any more time to think about it. Don't wake up tomorrow morning and know for sure if this is the right decision. No, leap. As in leap of faith, or you're going to lose your candidate. And as it turned out, David Tepper of the Panthers put his money where his mouth is in making sure that his top choice didn't go anywhere else. How it's fascinating the way the various candidates and timelines kind of played out for the Panthers and for the Giants. And I feel like Jerry Jones started all this with the way that he both deviously and brilliantly scooped up Mike McCarthy while the other teams were still thinking they had a shot. It's actually part of what I wrote in my column. So the theme of my column this week is who's crushing it to start 2020? So here we are a week into 2020, and the NFL is still shooting off fireworks. Like, they're still celebrating the start of a new year. I mean, it's bombs away right now in the NFL. And there's a lot of reasons that I gave you. And some of those I'll go over here on the show because I think they're fascinating. And that includes the ratings numbers for the full year. Not just for Wildcard Weekend, which we know they were the best since 2016. Up 7% from a year ago. But overall, the big picture for the NFL's TV and digital ratings. Yeah. Pretty sweet. And so the NFL has started off 2020 in just perfect fashion. Couldn't have asked for a better beginning to the new year and the new decade. And then I kind of look at some of the other individuals who've had a pretty sweet start to the year. And that includes Jerry Jones. Because I am more convinced than ever that this was all part of his calculated plan. He was using Jason Garrett to set a pick. Jason Garrett was setting a screen for Jerry Jones. Not on purpose, but Jones was using it that way. The same way I sometimes use slow cars to set a pick for me to get around another vehicle. Jason Garrett was his pick. And so, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's basketball. And I guess football too. Essentially, Garrett was the screen. He was the smoke screen. While Jerry Jones was busy luring Mike McCarthy to be his next head coach. I just do not believe, knowing Jerry Jones as a businessman, that this was an accident or that he just fell into it. Nope, it was all part of the plan. And so, as I was writing about it, it's a good thing that I was writing later on Tuesday because the dominoes that dropped after Dallas moved on Jerry Jones, while they dropped really quickly, and you can kind of see a much greater sense of urgency with both the Panthers and the Giants, which leaves the Cleveland Browns. There are some very worthy candidates still out there, but if the Browns had any designs on Mike McCarthy, we know that that is something they have to bury. It doesn't sound like the Haslams would have been interviewing Matt Rhule or were interested in bringing on a college coach, at least not at this point. And if they were, Urban Meyer kind of makes sense. So maybe their top candidate, Josh McDaniels, is still available. It's also interesting to think about how the Panthers and the Giants didn't follow through with the rest of their interviews. They had other guys that they were set to talk to. In fact, the Giants were supposed to talk to Matt Rhule. But they kind of fell in love with Joe Judge. And when Matt Rhule called up on Tuesday to say, hey, I have an offer on the table. Here's the money. Here's the numbers. The Giants declined. Rhule said he would make it to New Jersey and he would interview if the Giants were willing to match the money. And New York declined. John Mara declined. No surprise when you think about the numbers. 7-year contract. I'm not sure what's more outrageous, the 7 years or the $60 million. 7 years for a head coach? What are you, nuts? What are the chances Matt Rhule actually lasts the 7 years? I hope he does. I hope it's a huge success for the Panthers and for Matt. But 7 years for an NFL head coach, that's unheard of. As is a contract worth up to $70 million. You can do the math. It's not hard to do. If he meets the incentives, which presumably would be playoff appearances, a Super Bowl win, a certain number of victories per season, if he hits his incentives, he would make $10 million per year. Oh, Nick Saban must be proud. So we'll get into some of the deets. We'll let you hear from former Temple and Baylor head coach Matt Rhule, who did spend 1 year with the Giants as an assistant, but for the most part, his reputation has been built in college. And what you need to know about Joe Judge, this is kind of funny, actually. We actually could retweet it if you wanted to, Producer Chris. Our Boston affiliate, WEEI, sent a person around the office on Tuesday to ask people who worked in the office. Now, I don't know if this is on-air people, if it's salespeople, support staff, but they sent a guy around the office to ask them if they knew who Joe Judge was. How many people, raise your hand, had to Google Joe Judge when you found out the Giants hired him? That includes the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu. I'm not sure how people know that, but I was reading about it. I'm sure it was on social media. So, Producer Chris, if you want to find that video from EEI, he'll retweet it from our show account, After Hours CBS. So don't feel bad if you didn't know who Joe Judge was. Don't feel bad if you didn't know who Matt Rhule was. But I would think that in football circles, Matt Rhule is probably a bigger name, at least to this point, than Joe Judge. And so we'll get to know the Judge. I mean, certainly Judge Judy is far more famous than Joe Judge. And we'll talk about the various dominoes that fell. But also a really painful moment for one NBA star just a few hours ago.
R.J. Barrett kicks it right to the middle, makes a nice pass to Randall. Randall's fouled. Oh, no. Oh, Anthony Davis hit the ground hard, and he is in pain.
On his tailbone.
Legs got the entire him. Laker roster is up around AD, who is writhing on the floor in pain.
That's up.
Timeout Knicks. And let's hope that Anthony Davis is okay.
The initial diagnosis is a bruised tailbone, and he's going to go through additional testing tonight, and we'll have an update for you tomorrow. Fingers crossed, hope for the best, pray for the best, and hopefully he gets up and it's not too bad. You just with all your guys, you never see anyone, any of your guys suffer anything serious. So, we just hope and pray for the best right now.
That's the voice of head coach Frank Vogel. The initial diagnosis for Anthony Davis, a bruised tailbone. I've told this story on the radio before, but not in a while because there was no need to. When I was in high school, my brother and I, we fought all the time. And by fought, I don't just mean argued. I mean, we actually fought. And we were on a ski trip in, where were we? Wyoming, I think. Yeah, Jackson Hole. We were on a ski trip in Jackson Hole. And we had been fighting the entire trip out there. So I was putting my stuff into a drawer of the dresser in the hotel room. So I was bent over. And my brother knees me from behind. And his knee bone connected squarely with my tailbone. I am not exaggerating when I tell you it was the worst agony of my life. I couldn't sit down without pain for 6 months. Again, I'm not exaggerating. I'm telling you the God's honest truth. It was awful. Now, it didn't affect me to the point where I couldn't keep playing sports and move around later So, you know, after the initial pain subsided. But that week was really bad. Try skiing with a bruised tailbone. Not great. Not awesome. 6 months before I could sit down without trouble. I hope it's not that bad for Anthony Davis. We haven't seen the video, or as you hear the call there with John Ireland on the Lakers radio network, he hit square on his lower back. So again, I hope it's not nearly as bad as mine was, but he's a big dude and he fell hard. And here's the worst part. There's nothing you can do about it except take a bunch of Tylenol. It just has to heal on its own. You have to sit on a pillow or a donut. But there's not a whole lot they can do. No one was offering me surgery on my bruised tailbone. Oh, it was so bad. I feel for Anthony Davis and anybody who goes through that. So we'll see. There were reports that Davis was leaving Staples Center on a cart, but he wasn't laying on his back. He was actually laying on his side, and that he had to be helped into the back seat of his car. And there are some videos out there of him walking very gingerly to the locker room after he got injured. Oh, I'm sure there are a lot of people listening to me who can relate. I wouldn't wish that on anyone. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We'll let you hear from Matt Rhule, who deserves all the credit in the world for rebuilding a disgraced Baylor football program when he took over for Art Briles. He becomes the next head coach of the Carolina Panthers, and while I don't know this for sure, I'd have to go and look at all the numbers, potentially the fattest and longest contract that a coach has ever seen in the NFL. Definitely the 7 years is the part that blows me away.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Jacksonville with four to rush in, and they come hard. Allen pumps once, now goes over the middle. McCaffrey to the 10, the 5, touchdown, Carolina Panthers. McCaffrey hands the ball to a fan in the left corner of the end zone.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Christian McCaffrey was the highlight for the Carolina Panthers in 2019. Ron Rivera dismissed before the end of the season. David Tepper then was already into his coaching search and was prepared to spend money, was prepared to put his money where his mouth is in talking about bringing in someone who could turn the Panthers around. He was very passionate about how much he despises mediocrity during the season. It was clear that he was putting his coaching staff, specifically his head coach, on blast and giving them a shot to turn things around. And while there was initially a lot of hope surrounding Kyle Allen, who was the second-year guy who stepped into that starting role with the Lisfranc injury for Cam Newton, it kind of fell off a cliff. Second year in a row, the team just blew up. And so David Tepper, the owner of the Panthers, essentially says he was blown away by his time spent with Matt Rhule in Waco, Texas, which is where Baylor University is located, and that he didn't want him to get away. And so the reported terms of the deal, he offered him 7 years, $60 million, with incentives for $70 million. And throw in the fact that Tepper had to pay $6 million to buy him out of his Baylor contract. Wowzers. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. On the Carolina Panthers radio network, Mick Mixon will have a new coach on the sidelines who wears a smock. Have you seen the smock that Matt Rhule wore at Baylor? I don't exactly know what he wore at Temple. I can't remember that far back. But Chris, if you want to find a picture of Matt Rhule in his Baylor smock, it looks like he's painting or Well, no, cooking would be more of an apron. It looks like the man is painting. I don't know what that is. But I did see some quotes from David Tepper himself in which he said he dresses like bleep. He was talking to the website about why he decided to hire Matt Rhule. And a direct quote is, he dresses like bleep and he sweats all over himself. He dresses like me, so I have to love the guy. I was a short order cook. He was a short order cook. Nobody gave him anything. Nobody gave me anything. He had to work hard for everything he got.
What would you say you do here?
And so David Tepper sees a little bit of himself in Matt Rhule. Rhule did speak to a group of reporters after the news broke and after he'd made his decision to leave Baylor.
It was gut-wrenching. And I think that's just a testament to the, number one, the leadership at Baylor and the people at Baylor, the people of this community. It's hard to pick your family up and move them, you know. And so, but this was a unique opportunity.
Certainly is. There are only 32 teams in the NFL. And while he might have gotten a deal or gotten an offer from the New York Giants, it became clear that even as Tepper was wooing Rhule, the Giants were already moving down the road with Joe Judge. And so when Rhule's reps, this is the report, when Rhule's reps, his agent, called the Giants to let him know that Rhule had an offer from the Panthers and to tell the Giants the terms of that offer, the Giants said, you're welcome to interview, but we're already down the road with another candidate we now know is Joe Judge. And they weren't going to match the offer from David Tepper, which I don't think the Giants would be alone in that. I think there were probably a lot of teams out there that wouldn't be willing to offer up a 7-year contract. The money is one thing. That's whatever. These guys are billionaires. And the teams make millions and millions and millions of dollars. But the 7 years, to be locked in for 7 years, that's a hefty commitment. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So we know what David Tepper saw in Matt Rhule. What did Matt Rhule see in David Tepper and the Panthers?
After meeting with Mr. Tepper, the owner of the Panthers, after meeting with Marty Herney, it just seemed like a unique opportunity to go to the next level and put a process in place that's going to win.
It's a tall order, but the first thing that they've got to decide is whether or not they want to bring back Cam Newton or whether or not they want to go a different direction at quarterback. But in terms of a track record for doing exactly what Tepper's looking for, turning a program around, turning a franchise around, Rhule has that experience. So he took over for Baylor after Art Briles was fired and the program was in shambles. And you're familiar with the story, probably many of you. But the allegations of rape and sexual assault that were covered up by Briles, covered up by others in the athletic department. And while it didn't involve every single player on the team, it was bad enough that they had to start essentially from rock bottom. And Matt Rhule took on that challenge. And after going 1-11 in his first year in Waco, you could start to see the changes playing out. So he changed the culture. He changed the expectations. He cleaned it up. And they won 11-3 this past season, the Bears. And he said he felt like his time was done there, that he had accomplished everything that he needed to.
They understand that they want to go to the NFL. It's my chance to go to the NFL. But it doesn't take away from how much I care about them. But the Panthers were first class in every way throughout the entire process. Mac was first class, as he always is, Dr. Livingstone. So we leave here sad, but very grateful to have been here.
Even now, as I'm talking about Matt Rhule, not only did producer Chris find a picture of his smock, but I look up and they're showing him also on one of the TVs. in my studio. So I'm wondering if that's going to become akin to Bill Belichick's hoodie. I don't, what is the reason for the smock? I wish I could find out. Anyway, you can find that on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. Congratulations to Matt Rhule. He also turned around a Temple program that hadn't won a conference championship in, well, since 1967. You can do the quick math. We're talking about 50 years, and well, not quite 50 years when he was there, but earlier last decade. And he led Temple to a conference title. And so his reputation is built on turning the ship around, turning that Titanic around. And that will be required, all of those skills with Carolina. All right, coming up, why did the Giants reach out to Jason Garrett? And let's get to know Joe Judge. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Love for you to check out my column about the NFL's hot to trot start to 2020.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
First and 10th, the Philadelphia 20. Eagles up 10-3. First possession of the third. Play fake to Barkley. Jones back. He's under pressure. He rolls left, now lobs it left corner of the end zone, and it is caught for a touchdown by Tate in traffic over Rasul Douglas.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The New York Giants' next head coach inherits a really nice and young tandem of quarterback and running back. Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley are the building blocks for the future. But he also inherits an extremely young roster overall that led the league in snaps by rookies in 2019. And so maybe it's fitting that the Giants' next head coach is a guy who will be doing it himself for the first time. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, our hump show. Do you have questions for me? You always have questions for me. Well, we're taking your questions and we'll turn them into our regular Ask Amy Anything segment here on CBS Sports Radio. It's a couple hours from now still, so it's during the middle hour of the work week. And producer Chris is going to filter through all your questions and find the best ones. So you can find him on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. Look for the gigantic orange box. It's really easy to find. And we'll also take your phone calls. And if, while you call up to talk football or anything else, you want, well, not anything else, but when you call up to talk football, if you want to pose your question, then you can do that too. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico with some great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. The voice of the Giants radio network is Bob Papa. So Joe Judge, 38 years old, just turned 38 on New Year's Eve. So he is barely 38 years old and will be the third youngest head coach in the NFL. He's a five-time champion as an assistant coach. Three Super Bowl rings with the Patriots as he just finished up year number 8 on Bill Belichick's staff. And he also spent some time under Nick Saban. So how about that? Both Chris and Dave said on our last show that if they were ranking head coaching candidates, they would take Josh McDaniels. Funny you guys didn't say Joe Judge. They would take Josh McDaniels as their top candidate because he came from the Bill Belichick system. Well, Joe Judge actually came from both the Nick Saban system and the Bill Belichick system. You want teaching and training? You want the perfect internships, so to speak, to work under those two coaches? He left Alabama to join the Patriots and has 5 rings as an assistant coach in both of those places. Joe Judge has got a wife and 4 kids. He's a former assistant at Mississippi State. And this is his first shot at coaching as the guy who's in charge. So it's kind of fun to think about all the people who had to Google Joe Judge. And if you missed it earlier, producer Chris put up the video that our Boston affiliate recorded going around the office at WEEI asking people if they knew who Joe Judge was. Albert Breer, a guest on our New York affiliate, WFAN, answering the question of why Judge to the Giants.
Still recognize this guy as a head coach down the line, an NFL head coach down the line. And he did for Joe Judge what Andy Reid did for John Harbaugh in 2007. And, you know, a lot of people sort of gloss this over, but, you know, John Harbaugh was in this spot, you know, 13, 14 years ago. And his last year in Baltimore, or his last year in Philadelphia, Andy Reid moved him over and had him as a secondary coach. And boom, the next year he winds up getting a head coaching job. And so Belichick basically did that for Joe Judge. And he said, okay, like, I know you need to get some experience on one side of the ball or the other, and not just on special teams, maybe to entice some of these teams to come and look at you. So I'm going to give you that. And made him the wide receivers coach. And what do you know? All of a sudden now, you know, a year later, he's in the mix the same way Harbaugh was after 1 year as a secondary coach.
So Albert Breer on WFAN pointing to the way that Bill Belichick groomed Joe Judge and really saw the potential in him as a future head coach. It's kind of funny that he mentioned Andy Reid, because this is the conversation that Dave and Chris and I were having on last night's show. As we were trying to rank potential candidates, they were pointing to the Bill Belichick coaching tree. I was pointing to the Andy Reid coaching tree, is why I would say Eric Bieniemy is in my top three. And I'd forgotten actually about John Harbaugh, who was the special teams coordinator for Andy Reid. So the fact that this guy was recognized and pegged as a future head coach should carry a lot of weight, and clearly did with the Giants. According to John Mara, he really liked the leadership that Judge exhibited in their interviews. That's what he was looking for. And leadership comes in all forms, in all shapes and sizes. So how do you like the hire of, I think a lot of people were shocked, let's be honest. Mostly because they hadn't heard of Joe Judge. Judge Judy, yes. Joe Judge, not so much. But that doesn't mean a whole lot. There's a lot of people who've never heard of me either, and then they hear my show and boom! It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. That's why I keep telling you the name of my show, because there's people who don't actually know it. They tune in for the first time. How do you like the hire of Joe Judge with the Giants? It came together quickly, and I heard a lot of people mocking it early on. I feel like once you read up about Judge, or you hear other people talk about him, he's got a big personality. He's not a wallflower. This is a guy who, even seeing some interviews with him, and Belichick doesn't allow his assistant coaches to do a lot of interviews, but in just stumbling upon conversations with him, he's funny, he's charismatic, he's demonstrative. You can understand why he would be able to walk into a locker room and get attention right away. How do you like that hire? How do you like the hire of Matt Rhule by David Tepper? Tepper is not afraid to make a splash. He is all or nothing. He is all in when he decides he wants something. It's a luxury of being a billionaire, I guess. 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Dan, who's in Michigan. Welcome to After Hours.
Good morning, Amy. Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I am so intrigued by the game this weekend because Vrabel beat my team, and I thought if there was a wet track, New England wins, but Henry just tore them up, and now I'm looking forward to the Baltimore-Tennessee game because what's Vrabel going to dial up, because he had Belichick so pissed off. I couldn't even believe it. Belichick was losing it. So it's like, man, what's he going to dial up for Baltimore?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's it's certainly going to be interesting to see who wins the ball control game in that battle, because the Lamar Jackson, Mark Ingram combo, and Ingram's a bit banged up, but that combo and the Ravens, the way they play football, they average roughly 200 rushing yards per game, and they want to beat you in the time of possession battle. They want to keep the ball away from you. But that's also something that Tennessee has the ability to do because of Derrick Henry and because of the way that Ryan Tannehill generally, not this past week, but generally is pretty efficient in running the offense. So, yeah, I think the time of possession battle may actually tell a story. But also, these two teams want to take advantages of their opportunities in the red zone, because you don't know how many possessions you're going to get in a game like this where two teams excel at running the ball.
And what about the quarterbacks?
Well, I mentioned them both, Lamar Jackson and Ryan Tannehill.
Well, Lamar Jackson, that's why I'm curious about. How is Tennessee going to defend Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Tannehill, I'm not worried about. Baltimore will defense Tannehill. Did they defense Henry, though? That's my biggest thing.
Mm-hmm.
Henry is a beast.
He
just ate New England up.
Yeah, he's a formidable running back, especially when he gets downhill.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know what the line is yet. I haven't even looked.
Well, you're calling the wrong place for that. I don't know, but you let me know when you find it. Dan, thanks so much for your phone call. James is listening in Atlanta. James, welcome to After Hours.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thank you.
I've been listening for a few years. I've just never called, but I really appreciate you.
Thank you, sir.
The question I have is, like, Josh McDaniel, you know, they're talking about him for the Browns maybe, but, like, a few years ago, he was the coach for the Broncos for a little while, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a decade now, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. That was when they had Tim Tebow experiment, and he had Jay Cutler at that time. And then he ended up going back to the Patriots. So, you know, I just wonder.
Right. I don't think he was there for Tebow. Tebow was in 2012, drafted in 11 maybe, but playing in 12. He was the one who traded Jay Cutler, though, and he also traded away Brandon Marshall. So at the time that he was there, the two seasons that he was in Denver, he traded away both their quarterback and their top receiver. He was younger at the time, obviously, and it was his first shot. But he definitely took his big ego with him, and he clashed with some of the players. And once they crossed him, he was ready to ship him out of town.
Okay, well, you know, I'd like to see Belichick back with the Browns and his hoodie. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, that's not happening.
No, I know. But I like, you know, Baltimore, I just think Lamar Jackson, you know, everybody talks about a running quarterback. Really, to me, he is a quarterback first.
Mm-hmm.
Then when he decides to run, he's gone. He's so fast.
He is very fast. You know? That speed is a weapon for sure.
The only tailbone injuries I've heard of are friends where they fell off a horse.
Oh, but, that would hurt too. Yeah, that would really hurt.
But anyway, I appreciate you, and go Dogs is all I got to say.
All right, James, thanks so much for your call in Atlanta. Good to hear from you. Glad you called after all these years. Donna says on Twitter, A-Law Radio, Matt Rhule's smock is $149 from the Nike catalog, according to her local sports radio guys. It comes with the hood. I think he just wanted to save time, and he was going to paint his house afterward and didn't feel like changing. You can find that on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.